Well, I wonder what book we're in tonight. John. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Last week, we finished the third message on John chapter 6, where Christ proclaims that He is the living bread. We looked at verses 49 through 71. We need to understand that eternal life only comes from Jesus Christ. There is only one way to heaven.
Amen.
And that's Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In verses 49 through 51, we see this discussion of two types of bread. There is created bread that's physical, and it's talking about the manna that did come from God. And that's a blessing from God. Folks, the blessing of God does not mean it's the salvation of God. The mercy of God does not mean that it's the salvation of God. You know if you have a relationship with Him or not. And because of what God was doing with Israel, said, hey, we're okay because God's working for us. No. They needed to have a relationship with Him. It brought this created bread, this manna, what only physical sustenance. It was always needed because it was temporary. They had to go out every day and get some, except on the Sabbath day. Then there was the creator bread. Christ Himself said, I am the living bread. It is God. It brings spiritual salvation. And it's everlasting because it is eternal. Then there in 52 through 58, there were two types of spiritual life. Really, there's only one type of spiritual life because the other one's none. So you either have spiritual life, you either know you're going to heaven, or you aren't. There's one of two ways, and that's it. And no life brings conflict. There is no peace when you don't know God. And then the other thing is it brings confusion because you'll go out to everything that you think will work, and you find out that it's short, and you find out that it's lacking. And then in verses 54 through 58, we see eternal light. We see its substance. We see its sufficiency. We see its surrender required by us. And then its source comes from God. And its superiority, it never fails. It never fails. Christ never fails. There's two options to choose between in verses 59 through 65. You can choose religion or you can choose a relationship. If you choose religion because of instead of Christ, you will be spiritually deaf. You will not hear and understand what God is saying to you. If you choose religion instead of Christ, you will be so blinded that you won't see. You think you're going on the right way, but you're going the opposite way. You're on your way to hell. If you're looking at religion instead of Christ, you're so stubborn that you refuse to change. And we're going to get in more of that as we go through the book of John. You need a relationship with Christ. Who comes to Him, He will in no wise cast out. And so we see two types of bread and two types of spiritual life and two options to choose between. This week in VBS, there's two options. There's a good kingdom and a bad kingdom. There's truth and there's lie. There's God and there's Satan. It's that simple. It's black and white. In verses 66 through 70, we see two paths resulting from the choice. Turning your back on God. It said after they heard what Christ said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. We can't do that. The Old Testament law says don't do that. They lost their minds because they were steeped in their religion. Christ wasn't talking about that. He was talking about His crucifixion. He was talking about His sacrifice on the cross. And it said because of the hard saying, many of those that were following Him turned their back and didn't walk with Him anymore. And then later on in this passage, we see that Christ identifies that one of the 12 is a devil. God knew. The reason is the same. You're following Satan instead of God. You're following the bad kingdom instead of the good kingdom. And the reality will be evident because by their fruits or lack thereof, you will know them. Or even by your bad fruit, you will know them. Turning your face toward Christ should be in response to what Christ is doing. He opens His arms and He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's recognition for who Christ is. If you want to please God, you need to recognize who God is, who Christ is, and then we can please Him. So tonight as we start chapter 7, the title of my message tonight is Now is Not the Time. Now is not the time. We're going to look at the first 30 verses and you're going, oh no, we'll be here all night. No, we won't, because this is pretty self-explanatory. And so we need to understand this. God's plan happens God's way with God's timing. It's all about God. God's plan happens God's way with God's timing. That's the truth. That's the truth. So tonight we're going to break this section up into three points. In verses 1 through 13, we see about the time to go to Jerusalem. Now, John doesn't talk about all the things that Christ did. He references things based on the last 3 years, and he references on the feast. So we got to look at, there are periods of time that pass between chapter and chapter, an event and event. But the time to go to Jerusalem, from Jesus' perspective, was that the cross is kept in view. The cross is kept in view. In verses 1 and 2, it says, after these things. Now, last chapter, it was talking about that the Passover was nigh. So now we are in the Feast of Tabernacles. About 7 months have gone by. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in jewelry. He's not going to go back down to Judea, because all the religious leaders had contract on his life. He's not going to go back in there because his time is not yet. Remember at the marriage supper at Cana, what did he tell his mom? What did he tell Mary? My time is not yet. There's 6 more months. Christ has got to go to the Passover. It's not the Feast of Tabernacles that's going to cause us to die. It's going to be the Passover. And so, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in jewelry, because the Jews sought to kill him. It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Okay, so you have an issue here. This is one of the three feasts. What did it symbolize? It symbolized their exodus out of Egypt. What did they do? Every male had to go to Jerusalem. They lived in booths. They made huts. They lived in shelters to commemorate what had happened and how God had delivered them out of Egypt. It says, now the feast, Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, 6 months before the Passover, where Christ gets killed, where he's murdered. Okay? So all this stuff about timing is that the cross has to be kept in view. It's not his time. Conflict has to be kept in check. We see the sovereignty of God here. Now, in verses 3 through 5, it says, his brethren. Not talking about the disciples. Talking about Christ's half-brothers. Just a little bit of doctrine here. Some preach that Mary was a virgin perpetually. No. The Bible says Joseph did not know her until after Christ was born. There's one proof text. There was Judas, or Jude. There was James, the half-brother. He wrote the book of James. And there was a third one I can't remember right off the bat. There were John. There was 3 brothers and 2 sisters. This is who they're talking about. Talking about his family. his earthly family. Now, wait a second. One's enemies are one of his own household. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, go to Judea, that is, that thy disciples may also see thy works that thou doest. What are they asking Christ to do? You go down there and you show yourself openly. They know that the Jews are out to what? Killing. This is the world's idea. Let's do it our way, Christ. Let's do it our way, God. It's not God's way. The cross has got to be kept in view. This conflict of all these other people say, let's do this and let's do this. And there's conflict inside the disciples too. It has to be kept in check. It has to be kept in check. It says, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret. Why are you hiding, Jesus? Come out wherever you are and let people see you, because we want an earthly king. We want a political Messiah. We want a physical Messiah. We don't care about the spiritual thing. We just want our well-being here on earth. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And here's the reason why. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Now later on they do, but not right now. The cross is going to change things. But the cross hasn't happened yet. It's in the future. So Christ is dealing with conflict in his own family. Go down to Jerusalem. Show yourself. Become our political king. That's what you, that's what you're meant to do, Jesus. God's going to do what God wants to do. God's plan, his way, his timing. Not what the world thinks. The cause is kept by God. Now, true or false? Christ kept all the law. True. Feast and Tabernacle required everybody to go down there, right? Jesus is going to go there, but on his timing, okay? In verses 6 through 10, it says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. You just want to do wrong any time that you want to. But I'm going to do right on my timetable. There's a contrast here. Good kingdom, bad kingdom. It's the same thing. They had a chance. They had all these chances. Every day they're having a chance to accept Christ as who he is. But they don't. They just want it their way. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify it that the works thereof are evil. You go to the feast. Go ye up to the unto the feast. You do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. Saying, I go not up. What's the next important word? Yet. Does Christ have to go? Yes, he does. But not on man's timing, not on his family's timing, not on their advice. We see the sovereignty of God here. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet. And if you didn't get it right the first time, let's look at it this way. Not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. So there's this great big exodus to the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. God's going to do exactly what the opposite of what the world wants. You know why? Because the world's opposite to God. They are diametrically opposed. But God fulfilled, Christ fulfilled the law. He went to the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's his timing, not the world's timing. It's His method, not the world's method. And this is a time to go to Jerusalem. The cross has to be kept in view. All the conflict that could sidetrack this plan has to be kept in check. And the cause or the purpose of God must be kept by God. The curious are kept confounded. So, Christ is there. Now remember, He's been gone out of Judea for some time. Last time they saw Him at Passover. And people didn't recognize Him. You know? People didn't recognize Him. You know, He had no comeliness that men would admire Him. It says, so, everybody comes down, this mass exodus comes down to the Feast of Tabernacles. City's full of people. And the question is, where is Jesus? It says, then the Jews sought Him at the feast and said, where is He? Where is He? And when you don't get your way and you get disgruntled, what do? You start complaining. And you start telling other people about all your problems. And you say, well, this is what I think. Well, this is what I think. And there's conflict. And there was much, not just a little bit of dissension. There was how much dissension?
Much.
A lot. There was much dissent, a murmuring among the people concerning Him. And then it always gets down to the, well, who is He? Not where is He, but who is He? Because they haven't figured it out. Their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. They're stuffed in religion. They're not looking for the Messiah the way that God intended for it. They're looking for the Messiah the way they think it should happen. For some said, He's a good man. Others said, no. But He what? Deceiveth the people. Those are diametrically opposed arguments. Howbeit, no man spake openly of Him for fear of the Jews. They didn't want the religious leaders to even give the impression that they were talking about Jesus at all. Because they didn't want to get whacked. And so, God's plans, the cross kept in view, conflicts kept in check, the cause must be kept, and people who are not looking for God, they're going to stay confused. They're going to stay confounded. Now, in verses 14 through 24, it's the time to teach the people. God will not remain silent. He will reprove, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world with sin. He will teach us in all things. God is God in three persons, and He all do the same thing. It's time to teach the people. And in verse 14, there is a needed meeting. In verse 14 it says, now about the midst of the feast. So in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, Christ comes up. Where does He go? To His Father's house. Why? Because His Father's house is not teaching truth. His Father's house is a pack of lies. And He's going in there. Then Jesus went up into the temple and what? Taught. Because He needed to. And the people needed to hear the needed message. It was in the right place. Okay? It was in the right place. Where? The temple. Folks, when you come to church, you need to make sure that you hear God. If you're going to a church and you don't hear Christ preach, you don't hear the Bible preach, that's not a church. It's not a church. It's a social activity. This is where truth is. This is where we learn truth. This is where God changes us. Okay? Remember the issue about Jerusalem? You know, at the woman at the well, she basically tells Jesus, he says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. That's a true statement. There's a lot of places where God ought to be worshipped, but he's not. And this is not what's, and this is what's happening in the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles. God's not being worshipped. Their religion is being worshipped. They're not looking for the Messiah. They're blinded to it. Christ is teaching a needed message and a needed meeting, but in the right place and at the right time. And at the right time. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 verse 2 says, for you say that I have heard thee in a time accepted. Tonight is the night to listen to God. Every day is a day to listen to God. Every time you come in here, you need to be listening to God and not thinking about other things. We need to be single-minded about Christ. I have heard thee in a time accepted. In a day of salvation I have succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So there was a needed meeting and there's a needed message. There's a needed message in verses 15 through 24. And here's revelation about Christ or about God. First thing is, Christ knows God's word. God knows what he wrote. You know, there's a lot of people, did you write that? And our politicians want to deny that at times. Christ knows God's word. So what's he doing? He's teaching, right? Verses 15 through 16. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters or the books of the Old Testament or the Torah? Having what? Never learned. Well, you are standing in front of the person who wrote the Bible. He wrote the book. He ought to be able to teach it. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. And here he goes, immediately back to, I am the one sent from God. I am the what? The messenger. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you've been looking for. We don't know what he taught out of, but I bet you it's a whole bunch of prophecies about him from the Old Testament. Remember what Matthew says, he taught as one having what? Authority and not like the scribes. He wrote the book! Jesus knows God's word. In fact, he knows God's word and he corrects Satan when he's tempted with it. Verse 17, Christ reveals God's will. Folks, if you know Jesus, you know God. You know his plan, you know his way, you know his timing, you know everything else. Christ reveals God's will. In verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the what? The doctrine that I wrote, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. We've been talking about truth and lie in VBS. You know how you know error? You know the truth. And it's not what you think, it's absolute truth. I don't need to study all the other world's religions. I just need to know what the Bible says. And when they say, this is what we believe, I can immediately go to the Bible and say, this is what God says. That's what we have to do. Christ knows God's word. He wrote it. Christ reveals God's will. What is God's will for your life? To be saved. Then what's the next will? To be like Him. To be conformed to the same image. And to be transformed from glory to glory. That's what God's will is. Christ shows God's glory. In verse 18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Now there's a lot of pompous priest down there right now in these nice flowing robes and looking good and sounding good and everything else. And what does Christ say? He says they have the reward, the respect of men. But folks, we don't need the respect of men. We need the respect of God.
Amen.
He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him. Oh, here we go again. The same is true. True. And no unrighteousness is in him. Now, if you're paying real close attention, and if you're in the crowd, you come to this realization that what Christ is saying is you're not following my doctrine. You're not following my word. You're not doing God's will. You're doing it for yourself. And everything you come to church for is for yourself. To be seen of men, to be praised of men, to be patted on the back. It's my Father's house. It's a house of prayer. It's a house of worship where men ought to worship. Christ reveals God's word. Christ reveals God's will. Christ shows God's glory. And then Christ shows God's law. They keep on saying, what if half of them said, he's deceiving the people. Christ just said here, he says, the same is what? True. Christ shows God's law in person. 19, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, the reason? Thou hast a devil. I'm glad I wasn't God, because I would just fry them right there. Can you see the law? Can you see the long-suffering God here? Can you see the patience of Christ? We wouldn't. He's meek and lowly in heart. And a servant. Do you see the characteristics that Christ has here in order to deal with this? Wouldn't be like us. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Well, why are you whispering? So it's a needed message because Christ shows God's law. He says, oh, I gave Moses the law anyway. Oh, by the way, you're not following it. And then he gets back. What was the last thing that Jesus did when he was in Jerusalem? He healed the guy with the withered man on the Sabbath day. And everybody went nuts. God remembers. But do we? Christ shows God's law and power. Verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. So I just told you what that work was. The last time Christ was in the temple, he healed the man's hand. Okay? Healed the man's hand. And ye all marveled. Christ shows God's law and principle. Verses 22 through 24. I love this one. You cannot outthink God. You're going to lose that argument every time. I love this argument. What is the big issue with the Jews? Circumcision. It's the Abrahamic covenant. It shows that they're God's people. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. See, Moses didn't do it. It was from Abraham. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for what? Righteousness. And ye on the Sabbath, ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. You hypocrite. You say, I can't heal. I, the Creator God, can't recreate this man's hand. And you circumcise on the Sabbath day so you could keep the law. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Actually, I made that wrong. It wasn't the withered man. It was the guy that was at the pool. I was wrong. Okay? I'm getting my Gospels mixed up. I'm getting youth class and this class mixed up. But it was he made the guy who couldn't walk for 38 years walk. Okay? It's still on the Sabbath day. Okay? And then he makes a statement. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You all are judging me based on what you think is right. I'm just telling you what the truth is and letting the truth stand for what it is. You know, there's so many people that they get caught in a problem and they try to turn everything around to justify their position. They try to make people take sides based on what they think the appearance is. But folks, it's about righteous judgment. It's not about what it seems to see, it seems to appear. It's what's right down behind the scenes. That's the important thing. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Christ knows God's law in person, in power, and also in principle. Lastly, that should be point three. There is the troubled people at Christ. The troubled people at Christ. The people are troubled because of his openness. Christ's time had not come. He's not going to let man take away that time. He's not going to let man take away God's purpose. He's not going to let man take... Folks, why are we so quiet when someone throws up a little bit of opposition about it and we shut up and we don't share Christ openly? Then said some of them in Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Because he wrote the book. He wrote the law. He kept the law. He shows all these things. He's done this great work. People now recognize Christ for who he is. But do they recognize Christ for what he can do for them? And the issue is no. So they're troubled because of his openness. Why is he now speaking? Oh, by the way, it wasn't on his brethren's timing, it's on God's timing. He's teaching. Why? Because of all the error that's out there. And folks, we need to be standing up because of all the error that's out there right now. Verses 27 and 28, because of his origin. Howbeit, this is the people speaking. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. He's from Galilee. He's from Nazareth. We know his brothers and sisters. He's not the prophet. He's not the good man. He's not the Messiah. Howbeit, we know this man whence he was, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Well, obviously you don't know who he is because he's standing right in front of you. Oh, by the way, he was born in Bethlehem. Because he's of the house and lineage of David. And because he was born of a virgin. And because Isaiah said he's going to be born there. Because all the Old Testament prophets said it's going to happen. You all don't know your Bible, therefore you'll get all messed up in everything. And folks, if you don't know your Bible, this is what can happen. You're blinded to God. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also, because they are one. Oh, Christ is going to say that here in John 10. They're troubled because of his openness. They're troubled because of his teaching. They're troubled because of his stand. They're troubled because of the truth. They're troubled because of the lies that they've been exposed in. They're troubled because of his origin, who he says he represents, who he says his Father is. It is true. It's all true. And they're troubled because of the way he operates. In verses 29 and 30 says, but I know him. For I am from him. And he hath sent me to you, and you're ignoring it. Well, that goes over really well, doesn't it? Christ says 15 verses, 15 sentences, 5 minutes, and look at what happens. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. God's bigger than them. God's bigger than your problems. God's bigger than your sin. God's bigger than your trouble. God's bigger than all the issues that's in your life. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to do this for you. Is it time for you to get saved? Is it time for you to get right? Is it time for you to do right? Is it time for you to pray more? Is it time for you to read the Bible more? Is it time for you to witness more? Is it time for you to serve Him more? What's it time for you to do tonight?